Come on, Believers Chapel. Praise the Lord. So great to be here this morning. Thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us, man. I want to get bounce right into this. So much to cover. So excited about the Word of God. Man, I hope that you understand the Word of God, the love for the Word of God, diving into the Word of God, the importance of the Word of God, digesting it every single day, the importance of His Word. And today we get to talk about wisdom. We're going to go into a couple weeks. It might be a few weeks. We don't know yet, in regards to the value of wisdom. And we're going to look at King David for a minute. Then we're going to look at King Solomon for a minute. We're going to look and understand, if we understood the value of wisdom, can I ask you this? When is the last time that you prayed for wisdom? If today we get to get this clear picture of its value and its worth, its importance, when was the last time, honestly, that you in your time with the Lord was asking God for wisdom? And we're going to cover some definitions today. We're going to look at some things today. And I want this for your marriage. I want this for you as husbands. I want this for you as wives. I want this for you as college students, for young adults, for 18 and under, to understand, man, God, I need wisdom. I need wisdom. And I'm encouraging this, that when we know the value, that there won't be a day, not a day missed from today forward, that we don't ask God for wisdom for the day. God, I'm going to walk in your wisdom. This is huge. It's huge for young people to catch on quick. It's huge for us as adults, as parents, to know what we need to do, when we need to do it, to walk into place as a husband and a wife. And I'm excited for the next couple weeks, man. It's going to be fantastic. And I want to start just by prayer. I want to open up in a sense of looking at this exchange from King David to his son Solomon. And there's this amazing exchange to kind of set up who we know as Solomon. And Solomon has given us he's given us several books, but he's given us these wisdom books in Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. These are books that are of wisdom. There's nuggets on these pages that if you get this nugget, it will rearrange decisions, it will rearrange life, it will rearrange finances. So I want to take a look at this, and I want to see this in a sense of Believers Chapel, us, you knowing the value of wisdom in your marriage, in your parenting, in your kids, in finances, walking into place as 18 and under begin to understand, I'm making decisions myself that's going to impact the rest of my life. And I love this. I love the book of Proverbs, probably my favorite book in the Bible. And I love going through, today's the 18th, I've read Proverbs 18. Yesterday was the 17th, I read Proverbs 17. Tomorrow is the 19th. If the Lord would tarry, then I'm probably going to read Proverbs 19 tomorrow. That would be my intent. And I encourage you to take that proverb of that day and read the whole chapter and just dive into it, because it's just God's advice. Don't you think that we should know God's advice and then take it when you walk in this place to understand that success in life? Come on, let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for every person who's here. God, I thank you for this church, what this church means to me, what this church means to each person who's here, what this church means to our community. Father, we are blessed. I thank you for a time of worship this morning. Pray that you were exalted and honored. And Father, I thank you for an amazing reminder of the lost and the hurting and the broken, that we would do our part. We would do our part and be that light to the lost. And we thank you for that reminder today. And I ask that we would walk in that word today and walk in the understanding of that word for us today, that we would do our part. And God, we would speak truth to people who are lost and broken, that we would speak of your grace and of your mercy and your amazing salvation that is truly free to all. And Father, I pray that we would know that we are the agents that are going to change this region. So Father, I pray that you would just take that word that was spoken over us this morning, and God, that we would put it into our hearts. And I thank you for our time of worship. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for the cross, and we love you, and we're amazed by you. Speak to us today from your word. God, help us to dive into your word. And God, help us to gain understanding of you and gain understanding of our walk today, that we would grow today. In Jesus' name, come on, amen. Hi, hallelujah. Come on, 1 Kings chapter 2. Here we go. Come on. Love this. Man, this is amazing. Come on. It was a great week. I hope you had a great week, but it was a great week in reading. And there's times particularly, this happens to me more in the Old Testament, that you start reading a story and then it just increases from there. Like one story leads into another story that leads into another story. And that's kind of how the Old Testament rolls. And when you start reading one, you're like, oh, what happened to this guy? And what happened to that guy? And this guy's like the hitman. They have like hitmen, like Solomon had a hitman. And it was just amazing. He just sent them off to take out people. And you're just like, oh, this is an amazing story. Like, wow, go take out this person. Go take out that person. And Benaiah was his name. And he was a hitman. He was under his father David's reign. He was a mighty warrior. And then Solomon picked him up and said, hey, you need to go take this guy out. And you need to go take this guy. It's like, it was amazing. And this is what took place for me, just kind of diving into this. And I love where you just start reading scripture. And then have you ever been just consumed by the story, right? You're just like all in. You're like, oh, this is great. What happened here? And what happened there? And what did this guy do? And how did he actually take him out? And that's just, I love that. And that's what happened in 1 Kings for me as I'm reading through this. And I'm picking up some things from David and picking up some things from Solomon. And here you got to understand something, that David was probably the greatest king in Israel's history. He was a man after God's own heart, and God did work after work after work after work after work in King David's life. And you got to understand something. David was a mighty warrior. He would go and take out, and he would go to battle and he would win. He'd go to battle and he would conquer. He would go to battle and he would be fearless. He would go to battle and he knew he had the hand of God, the mighty hand of God on his army, and he would just destroy. Like, King David was not this little wimp. Yes, we know he blew it. Yes, when we think David, we think Bathsheba, we think the mistake. But the reality is, the other side of David was a man after God's own heart. The other side of David was a mighty warrior. The other side of David was probably the most mighty king in Israel's history. That is David. And could you imagine being one of David's sons where you're supposed to take over the throne? Solomon was supposed to take over the throne of his father David. Yet Solomon was the fourth son. He wasn't even the rightful heir, but he was the one that was chosen to take over the throne. Could you imagine putting yourself in Solomon's shoes to say, I'm the one who's supposed to lead in my father's footsteps? The greatest king in Israel's history? How am I supposed to do that? And dads, I want to pick it up here in 1 Kings 2, and this is for us as dads. And this was from David, who was on his last. He knew it was the end of the game. He knew it was time for him to go into the ground. And he calls his son Solomon in and gives him some advice. And I want us to pick up on this. Dads, I want you to hear this. It says this, chapter 2, verse 1, as David's time to die drew near, he charged Solomon his son, saying, I am going the way of all the earth. That means from dust to dust. David knew, man, I'm on the last, I'm in the overtime, Solomon, it's time for me to go. And this was his last command. This is amazing. He says this, I'm going the way of all the earth. Be strong. I love where a dying dad says, listen, son, you are going to be the next king of Israel. And it just makes it simple for him. He says, son, I need you to be strong. I need you to be mighty. I need you to be fearless. I need you to be courageous. I need you to understand what it means to conquer. And this is from this mighty warrior, David, greatest king in Israel's history, telling his son who's coming up behind him, son, I need you to be strong. I need you to be courageous and mighty. I need you to understand what it means to go and conquer. This is what this word strong means. And then the second part to this parting words is this. He says, listen, I'm going the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and show yourself a man. Church, I love this. This is advice from dad to son. Dad's on his way out. Son's fulfilling his shoes. And he says two things. Be strong, which means be mighty. Be courageous. Act in such a way that you know what it means to conquer. And then son number two, I need you to act like a man. I love this, church. And here you walk in this place as dads in this house. You walk in the place to encourage your sons. You need to be strong and you need to be courageous and you need to be bold and you need to be fearless. Can I tell you, I pray for my two boys. I also pray, obviously, for my Olivia. I think she just crushed it today. I'm so proud of her. But I pray for my sons. In a way, God, that you would protect their soul, that in their soul, they would be fearless, and in their soul, they would act like men, and they would be bold, and they would be courageous. And this is a part of my almost daily prayer. Many times throughout the week, I am praying for my sons. I also pray for Olivia for the same thing, but it's different when you're praying for your sons, that they would act like a man. Be manly. Act like a man. Be bold and courageous. Be fearless. That their soul would never be afraid. That's the men we're called to draw in a place of church. And you walk in this place from King David to his son Solomon. He says, I need you to be courageous. I need you to act like a man. And then watch this. I love this. And he says this, verse 3, keep the charge of the Lord your God. Keep the charge. The charge is that you would walk in obedience, that God is going to charge you. God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. And he has charged you. When you are given a charge, it's to walk in a commandment. It's to walk in the obedience to that charge. This is what he says. Keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways. Keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, his testimonies. Watch this. According to what is written in the law of Moses, that you may succeed in all that you do and wherever you turn. Man, we can pick up so much from the simplicity of this dad to his son. Son, I want you to succeed in everything that you do and everywhere that you go. I love where David's heart is. Now, listen, son, I need you to be mighty. I need you to be strong. I need you to be courageous. I need you to be bold. I need you to be fearless. Man, I need you to act like a man. I need you to provide. I need you to protect. I need you to walk in this place, to continue in the charge that God has given you. So in all of that, I want you to succeed in everything that you do and everywhere that you go. Dads, does that sound like us? Is this how we speak to our children? Is this how we speak to our sons? And I know it's not Father's Day, but this is great stuff today. Can you say amen to that? Come on. All the dads, amen. And all the sons, I got it. I got it, Dad. I think we need to build strong men. And I love David's charge to his son, that you may succeed in all that you do and wherever you turn. And let's turn to 1 Kings, right? Next page, 1 Kings chapter 3. Church, if I were to ask you, what would it be if God were to come to you and say, Sean, if you were to ask me for one thing and I would grant it to you, what would it be? If God were to come to you and ask you, if I was to say, listen, you could ask me anything you wanted and I'd give you one thing. Like in all reality, what would that be? Like you could ask the world that question. Like it's kind of like genie in a bottle, right? You could ask the world that question. Listen, if you had one request and you knew that it would be granted, what would it be? You know, what would the world's answer be? Fame, fortune, money, long life. Like you walk in this place, go, man, I want to live long and prosper. I want to walk in this place to have money. I never want to have to worry about job. I never have to worry. And like, what would the worldly answer be? Fame, right? Finances, just never have to worry about anything money-wise or fame-wise or popularity-wise and work-wise and just. But if you're asking a follower of him, one who walks in this great reverence of God, because we're going to see here that God came to a man named Solomon in a dream. He said, ask me. And watch this. This is huge. Because today, we're going to start this series on that sense of when you know the value of wisdom, when you understand its value, there won't be a day that goes by that you don't ask God for wisdom. Why is it that biblical books are written on wisdom? It's that important. And sometimes we just think wisdom. Sometimes we flip through Proverbs. Sometimes we don't really pay too much attention. But what happens if today there's something significant that takes place in your spirit, that there begins to get this fire in your spirit of what wisdom really means and how much I absolutely got to have it. I haven't been functioning in wisdom. I haven't asked for wisdom. I never really thought it was that important. You walk in this place that today I want there to be a shift, really to have an understanding of the value of wisdom. Look at this, 1 Kings chapter 3, it says this. We'll pick it up in verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night, and God said, ask what you wish. Ask what you wish me to give you. I mean, this is the God of all power. This is the God of all might. This is the God of all creation. Solomon walks in this great fear of God. He understands God. He's seen God move in his dad again and again and again and again. And when God shows up in a dream and says, listen, ask me what you wish. What? God, can I have some time? Like, you mean like now? Like right now? Like, do I have time to think about that? That's a huge ask. Man, we ask, hey, where do you want to go to dinner? And that's a 20-minute conversation. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, well, what about this? No, yo, hey, honey, where do you want to go to dinner? You pick. What about this? No. I'm not saying that's my world. I'm just saying that's a possibility. That's all I'm saying. Well, what about here? No, I'm not hungry for that. Okay, honey, how about you just pick? Because I'll eat peanut butter and jelly. I'm good. Like, honestly. No, I'm kidding. But if God of all power and might asks you, ask me what you wish. How long would that take to come up with something? Then Solomon said, verse 6, you have shown great loving kindness. Look at, he shows honor to the Lord. You've shown great loving kindness to your servant David, my father, according to as he walked before you in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart towards you. And you have reserved for him this great loving kindness, that you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Watch, please hear this. Look at this, verse 7. Yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. Church, what happens when you see this amazing, beautiful picture of where Solomon is? He's taking over the throne, and he knows, you have shown such loving kindness to my dad, and I'm supposed to fulfill his shoes, but yet I know that you chose me to be king. And look what he says in verse 7. It's amazing. This is where we need to be, yet I'm a little child. He says this, I do not know when to go out or to come in. He's like, listen, I love where Solomon is. He says, listen, I've got so much to learn. I know I've got so much, as a child, I've got so much growing to do. I have so much to learn. I don't know whether to come in. I don't know whether to go out. I mean, I love the sincerity here. I love the transparency here of Solomon going, really, you're asking me what I wish for? He's like, listen, I'm but a child. I've got so much growing to do. Church, I think that should resonate with every single one of us. I'm 51 and I got a lot more to learn about being a husband. I got a lot more to learn even about being a parent. I've got a lot more to learn about being a shepherd and a pastor. When you walk in this place, say, God, I always want to be growing. I always want to understand. God, I never want to end in my growing. I've never reached that perfect place of maturity. I want to grow and I want to grow and I want to grow and I want to grow. And you walk in this place where Solomon is. He's like, listen, I'm but a child. I've got so much to learn. Just what happens when you come across people that think they just know it all? They stink. When you come across that arrogance and you come across those who really think they've learned it all. There's nothing else they've learned, and now all they're going to do is just give everything that they've known because they can't grow anymore. You stink. And here we can pick something up here from Solomon going, listen, I don't know it all. I'm just a child. I need so much more room to grow. And I love this conversation that he's having with God. It's a stunning conversation if we catch it, right? And he says this in verse 8, your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people. I love how he honors the people, a great people. Please always put honor where honor is due, church. Never lose that place of honor. Look, he honored his father. He honors God and he honors the people that he serves. I love this. A great people who are too many to be numbered or to be counted. So watch this. Look, this is what he asks for. He says, ask what you wish me to give you. And then this is what he asked, verse 9. It's a big deal, right? So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours? It was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Solomon knew his place. I got so much more to learn. I don't know if I'm ready to fulfill my dad's shoes. I wasn't even the rightful heir to the throne. I'm the fourth born son. And he walks in this place to say, God, I need help. I need help. And then look at verse 11. And God said to him, because you have asked this thing. We see this selflessness in Solomon as a leader. The best leaders are selfless. They're not really in it for themselves. They're in it for what God has called them to do and the people that God has called them to. And this is where Solomon was. He understood, God, you've called me and you've called me to these great people. And he said, I need help. And he was selfless. Watch this. And God said to him, verse 11, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself. Look, you didn't ask for long life. You didn't ask for riches. You didn't ask for life of your enemies. That could be interesting. Never mind. I'm just saying. But you didn't ask for that. But you asked for yourself discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I've given you a wise and discerning heart. I love this. I've given you a wise and discerning heart so that there has been no one like you before. I love this. And he says, listen, Solomon, I know that you are concerned about fulfilling your dad's shoes. You know your dad was a mighty warrior. You know your dad was a great king. But look what God says. Listen, have this place of rest. I'm going to give something to you that even your father never had. Look what he says. You want to talk about that place of being humbled? You want to talk about that place of knowing I got these huge shoes to fill and he wanted to honor his dad, and I love that, but God assures him. He says, behold, I have done according to your works. Behold, I have given you wise and discerning hearts so that there has been no one like you before and shall no one like arise after you, and I have also given you what you have not asked. I will give you riches and I will give you honor, and there will not be any among the kings that are like you in your days. And if you walk, I love this, if you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will prolong your days. He says, because you asked for wisdom, for discernment, and for understanding. You didn't ask for anything for yourself. You didn't ask for money. You didn't ask for more time. You didn't ask for to take out your enemies. You asked for this wise discerning and understanding so that you can begin to help the great nation. He says, I'm going to give you more than even your dad had. There will be no one that has come before you, and there will be no one that comes after you. Church, I want you to see the significance of this. Turn it to chapter 4, 1 Kings chapter 4, please. Verse 29. I love this. This is just the intro, because I want you to fall in love with Proverbs. Please hear me. I want you to understand what's at our fingertips. Man, I would love for your time your concentrated time in the morning or the afternoon or evening, that God and I time, right? That me and Jesus time. What is in your fingertips? Do you have the Word of God? It's at our fingertips. Are we hungry for it? Are we trying to put it into our spirit? Do we know that it is life? Do we know that it will walk in such a place that we will see things through God's eyes because we have it right at our fingertips? Do we take advantage of the Word of God in our hands? Do we take advantage of the book of Proverbs every single day? Wisdom in our hands, all written down for us. I want you to see this. This is huge. Look at chapter 4, verse 29. Now God gave Solomon wisdom and very great discernment and the breadth of mind, like the sand that is on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the sons of the east and the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men. It goes through a list of men. And his fame was known, watch this, verse 31, his fame was known in all the surrounding nations. He also spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. He spoke of trees from the cedar of Lebanon. He is hyssop, and it grows on the wall, and he spoke also of animals and birds, of creeping things and fish. Verse 34, this is huge. Men came from all peoples to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all the kings of the earth. All the kings of the earth. What'd they do? They came and heard his wisdom. Church, you got to get this picture. All the kings on the earth, all the kings of the nations, they would get on their camels, they would go through the desert to do what? Sit at the feet of Solomon. That's stunning to me. What did this man have in wisdom and discernment that the kings, the leaders, would travel the earth to go sit at his feet and just be taught wisdom? Church, we have the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon at our fingertips. God wrote it all down for us. God, by his Spirit, says, Solomon, I need you to write. Solomon, I need you to put it on paper. Solomon, I've given you this wisdom, and all of the kings travel to come sit at your feet to hear from you. I need you to write it down so Sean Obergefell can get your wisdom on paper in his hand every single day. We have access to God's advice on your Bible, in your Bible, through Proverbs. That's God's advice to man. And church, I love this. When you walk in this place, what length do you go to get wisdom? What length do you go to get godly advice? What length do you go to walk and understand? I've got Proverbs right here. I can get it right here. And there's times that we see when you read through Proverbs, you're like, oh, I should have done that, but I didn't. It would have turned out different had I. And my Uncle Paul, he has gone to be with the Lord, but my Uncle Paul was truly one of my heroes. My dad's my hero, and Uncle Paul was one of my preaching heroes, where he was the best preacher. I loved his preaching. I have some of his preaching on cassette tapes that I'll plug in every now and then just to hear his voice. And he was the pastor of and founder of Believer's Chapel in Syracuse. We are affiliated by name only, and great work going on there. And my uncle had such a gift to preach and such a gift to lead. And he, I mean, my goodness, 25, 30 years ago, more than that, maybe 40 years ago now, where he started Believer's Chapel in Syracuse, he was the first true megachurch of the East. His church just blew up. It just blew up. He could teach. And he was winning souls. It was amazing what God was doing for him. Man, when I was young in really being a pastor and young in ministry, and this was before even Believer's Chapel would start, I would go out and I would spend time with Uncle Paul. I would drive the 3 hours and 15 minutes, 3.5 hours. We'd meet at Red Lobster. He loved Red Lobster, probably the biscuits. And the ladies and the staff of Red Lobster knew when Paul Wagner came and sat in the booth, it's going to be a while. And I would spend 2 to 3 hours with him at lunch, just Uncle Paul, what about this? And Uncle Paul, what about that? Where is this in scripture? And I read this, and what about this? And what about leadership? And what about this? And it was 2 or 3 hours in a booth, just going over, amazing, just taking as much from him as I could possibly get, and get in the car and drive another 3.5 hours home and call it 100% worth every inch and every dollar in gas when you're just so young and all of the time. And I did that on repeat, and it was truly some of the most precious time, because I knew the value of his words. And there was a moment when he knew he was starting to close the door for himself in ministry, and he says, Sean, you can come, and I'm giving you first pick of any books from my library. And this is 40 years of taking up library, and I'm like, man, that's amazing. And I went and just picked off some of the stuff that I really felt valuable and just was a treasure, and it's still a treasure. And there was a moment in his car, I'll never forget this, we were in the parking lot of Believer's Chapel, and he said, Sean, I just feel like I need to pray for you. And he laid his hands on me and he said, I really believe that the mantle that I have will fall on you, and God will do double. And church, I've never taken that lightly. And God has truly blessed Believer's Job. And when he passed away, I asked his lovely bride, I said, yeah, would we be able to use the name Believer's Chapel in memory of him and what he's meant to me and what he's meant to so many? And of course, she was so excited about that. And it was in that season where he hadn't yet passed, but he was on the way to getting out of ministry and on the way to some different things. And he was moving to Florida to do some work. I said, listen, I'd love to honor your name and have Believer's Chapel be a part of where we're at. And God has blessed this work. And church, when you see something that is of such value, and I love this because Proverbs is it's right here. Right at our fingertips. We don't have to travel across the desert to go sit at his feet. God told them to write it all down for us. And you walk, if you would just turn with me, please, to Job 28. I want you to see this again, because there's a huge cue here that we need to understand this. Verse 12, it says this, Job 28, verse 12. But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value. Watch this. Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, it's not in me. The sea says, it's not with me. Pure gold cannot be given in exchange for it, nor can silver be weighed in its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir. And that was a land that was known for its fine gold. And it can't be valued in the gold of Ophir, its precious onyx or sapphire. Gold or glass cannot equal it, nor can it be exchanged for the articles of fine gold. Coral or crystal are not to be mentioned, and the acquisition of wisdom is above that of pearls. Topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. Verse 20, where then does wisdom come from, and where is the place of understanding? Thus it is hidden from the eyes of all living, and concealed from the birds of the sky. Abaddon and death say with our ears, we have heard a report of it. God understands its way, for he knows its place, for he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. I love this. Watch this. When you take this verse right here, and he looks to the ends of the earth. This is our God who looks to the ends of the earth. Church, what happens in a day today that has just been a chaotic, crazy season of life, we come to a place. This is why seek is so valuable. When you take a verse like this to say, God sees it all. You come to a place, God, I don't know what this month holds, but God, I know that you do. And I walk in this place to no matter what happens to me, no matter what's going on tomorrow, no, what's going on next week, no matter what's going on next month, I walk in this place to be assured because Job 28:24, God looks to the ends of the earth and he sees everything under the heavens. Isn't it amazing when you can say, God, I know that you already know. Why am I so worried? Why do I walk with such fear? Where's my peace? You walk in the place of Romans 15:13. Say, it is the God of hope who will fill you with all joy and fill you with all peace. And then you walk in the abundance of the hope in God by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you walk in this place to begin to say, God, I know that you are in charge and you see it all. God, I'm going to be okay. God, it's going to be okay. Let peace reign. And let joy come. Why? Because we serve a God who looks to the ends of the earth and he sees everything under the heavens. When he, watch this, when he imparted weight to the wind and meted out the waters by measure, and he set a limit for the rain and a course for the thunderbolt. This is what God does. And he saw it and declared it and established it and searched it out. This is what he says, verse 28. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Go back to verse 12. But where can wisdom be found? Verse 13. Man does not know its value. And God says, behold. That behold is this exclamation point of, can I have your attention? Church, today is God is saying, can I have your attention, please? That when you see behold in Scripture, it means there's an announcement. And behold is like that trumpet before the announcement that gains everybody's attention. And God is blowing that trumpet saying, I need everyone's attention for the fear of the Lord. That is wisdom. And to depart from evil, that is understanding. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Where can wisdom be found that we would walk in this place of this reverence before God, walk in this place having this fear of God, walk in this place of that healthy fear of God, that reverence and that respect of who God is and his power and his authority and his might, that he is God. And when we need, if you're walking in wisdom, we need to stop debating God on God's word. God, why can't we just walk in this great respect of God and say, God, I read it. Okay. Yes. God, I see it. Yes. I believe it. And you walk in this place of respect. You walk in this place of reverence before God. And that, church, is the beginning of wisdom. That's where wisdom begins. And if you would just flip me, please, let's get to Proverbs. Couple minutes and we'll bounce, and I appreciate your time, but I want to just cover this quickly, because you look at some definitions that you see when you look at wisdom. Surrounding wisdom is a word of discernment, a word of discretion, a word of understanding, a word of righteousness. Like, these are words that kind of surround Proverbs, and you see them all through Proverbs. What is discernment? What is discretion? And what is wisdom? And what does understanding mean? And what does righteousness mean? And you walk in that place and say, okay, let's define three of these. If you could just put the slide with the three of them up, just so you can see this, because you define that place of wisdom, that place of discernment, that place of discretion, right? Wisdom is this. I love this. Skillful in all areas of daily living. Listen, when you walk in a place saying, God, I need to understand the value of wisdom because it's me being skillful in all the areas of daily living. What are all the areas of daily living? God, as a man, how do I walk in wisdom as a man? If you're a woman, walking in wisdom as a woman. If you are married, if I'm a husband, God, how do I walk in wisdom in my daily living as a husband, daily living as a wife, daily living as a parent, daily living as a college student, daily living as a teenager, daily living as one who is single. God, I want to walk in a place to be skillful day after day. How important is wisdom? When we come in this place and say, okay, if I have wisdom, and the Bible says to seek after wisdom, if I gain that, I'll know how to live day by day as a husband. Yes. I know how to live day by day in finances, yes. I know how to live day by day as one who's single, yes. Like Proverbs covers your daily life. It covers what you think, what you say, and what you do Monday to Monday. That's wisdom. It changes the game, church. It changes everything. To understand what it means to walk in wisdom. When you see the word discernment, it means to see clearly, to clearly understand. It means to be able to decipher between motive of good and evil, right and wrong. And when you walk in this discernment, we pray for discernment. God, help me to discern. God, help me to have discernment in this. Help me to see if this is a benefit or if this is a harm. Help me to see if this is good or if this is evil. And discretion is very simple. This discretion is this. God, I need to walk in discretion of this, because what is to identify a plot, to identify a plan? What is their purpose? What is their motive? Do they mean harm for me? I need to walk in this place of having discretion to figure out the plot, to figure out the purpose, to identify the intent and the plan and the purpose. So when you see that in Scripture, you begin to identify this and you walk in this place going, okay, what if I walked in wisdom? What if I had discernment? And what if I had discretion? Understanding is simply this. It means to walk in this place to see it through common sense. As God does it, how do I see it as God does it? That's understanding. When I understand something, I see its intent. When I understand, okay, God says this. God, I want to understand that. I see that you say that. And God, I want to walk in wisdom to that. But God, I can't walk in wisdom to that until I can make sense of it. And that's what understanding means. Not complicated, right? And you walk in this place. I'm going to get to Proverbs 2 next week, but I want to give you an example. Today's the 18th. So if you could turn to Proverbs 18 with me, please. And then we'll sing. And if anyone needs prayer, we'd love to pray with you. Proverbs 18 is just a great example. Today's the 18th. I was reading this morning and some things just flew off the page at me. I love Proverbs 18. It is one of my favorites. It says this, Proverbs 18, 2, just a couple nuggets out of this. A fool does not delight in understanding. A fool does not delight in understanding. He doesn't want to make sense of anything. He doesn't want to have the reality of the insight of something. Watch this. Have you ever tried to argue with somebody like this? A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. All he wants to do is tell what he thinks, but you're like, no, listen, it's raining outside. Nope. I don't want to take it that it's raining outside. I'm just going to run outside. No, listen. Put the top on the car. You can't drive the convertible. It's raining outside. No, it's not. I want to reveal my own mind. They want to walk in nothing of common sense. You ever try to argue with people like that? All they do is want to reveal their mind. All they want to do is say what's on their heart. And you're like, listen, the sky is blue. No, it's not. Okay, conversation over. You ever just end a conversation and say, okay, Bible says you're a fool. I agree. Yeah, say that. That would go well. Look at verse 13. He who gives an answer before he hears is folly and shame to him. Isn't that just punch social media in the face? He who has an opinion without knowing the facts. Bible says you're a fool. Anybody respond and give their opinion to something and you don't know the whole story and it's none of your business to begin with? You know what God says? You know what advice says? You're a fool. And you're going to be embarrassed by it. Watch this. I love this, verse 17. The first to plead his case seems right until another comes to cross-examine him. Isn't it amazing how you hear one side of the story with not having all the facts and you're like, oh man, I can't believe that happened to you. Holy cow, that's amazing that someone else says, yeah, he left out A, B, C, and D. And you're like, that changes everything. You ever been there? Like when I go into marriage coaching, there's always two sides to a story. When I'm a police officer, been a police officer 27 years, I've always known there's always two sides to a story, and you walk into a place, and one of them may be 100% right. It might be an accurate side of the story, but sometimes, you know, in marriage coaching, when I hear one side of the story, I'll let the person know, listen, just so you know, I know that's your side, and I do know that there's two sides, so I'm going to talk with everybody and see what's really going on here. And they're like, what, you don't believe me? Didn't say I didn't believe you. I just want to walk in wisdom because there might be more to your story. Would you agree with that? And then here, my wife's favorite from Proverbs 18 is this: he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. She's like, Sean, you got favor because I'm a good wife. Mama, amen, sweetie, I agree. And there are times she reminds me of that. Honey, I'm a good wife. And God has given you favor because of me. Proverbs 18 tells me that. And you know what I got to do is just shake my head and say, amen. Church, what happens? And next week we'll get into the fruit of wisdom. Next week we do have a special treat, our man Levi Weaver. He is going to be giving his testimony. I asked him, I'm going to preach, but he's going to take a few minutes and give his testimony next week in regards to how God has used him in such a powerful way, and God has done a great work in his spirit, in his soul, and in his body. Even in the stupid things of life, God shows up and does amazing, amazing, amazing things. It will be a powerful testimony. I love testimonies, and I love how we testify to what God has done. Even in the midst of stupidity, God works. Aren't we all, every one of us, glad for that? Amen? Come on, if we could just stand to our feet, please. We'll close this thing out. If anyone needs prayer for any reason, please meet me up front, and we will have somebody praying with you. Come on.